Open your Bible, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to begin with verse 32 in a few minutes. But first, some announcements. First of all, Operation Christmas Child boxes. Do we have any out there today? Okay, good. If you want to bring a box in for Operation Christmas Child, and it goes to a child in a poor country in the developing world, and to bless children who otherwise will not get very much, if anything, for Christmas. And it also it contains the blessing of the gospel. And there's a real simple presentation of the gospel included in every box. You don't need to put that in. Operation Christmas Child does that for you. But if you want to go out and buy the, it doesn't cost very much to fill a box with goodies. There's a list. There's a list of suggestions of things to buy and things not to buy, not to put in the box. But if you want to do one, the deadline is next Sunday. So bring it in next Sunday. We're going to stack them up right over here, and we will pray over them, and then they get shipped around the world. Also, we have a new member/inquirer class coming up on a Saturday morning. I will be teaching that. It's for anybody who wants to join our church or anybody who just wants information about our church. What makes us tick? What are we about? It includes lunch. And I forgot to bring the sign-up sheet. So, there is in your bulletin, if you want to sign up for that class, just go ahead and use the card that's in your bulletin, put your name on it, and put new member class, new member slash inquirer class, and hand it to me or leave it on the table after worship this morning. Now, this David and Goliath. I'm not going to read all of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel because that would take too long. But the story of David and Goliath, if you grew up in Sunday school, you've heard it 1,000 times. The Philistine army, this requires a little bit of a setup. The Philistines were an aggressive, violent people who were constantly threatening Israel. And they've brought their army, and in what's called the Valley of Elah, and on one side of the valley is the Philistine army, and on the other side of the valley is the army of Israel, and under the leadership of King Saul. And Goliath, this huge warrior, steps forward and issues a challenge. Instead of all of us fighting, let's just do a one-on-one, says Goliath. Anybody from among you Hebrews that wants to come out and fight me, if I win, then you all will be our servants. And if you one of you beats me, then we all of us Philistines will be your servants. Now, just as a little aside here, this is a little tidbit about the scholarly discipline of finding the best text for the Bible. Because you know, you probably are aware, there are what are called textual variations. All of the ancient manuscripts are not identical. So there's a scholarly discipline called text criticism. It doesn't mean criticizing the Bible. It means finding the best text. Most of the Bibles that we have grown up with will tell you that Goliath was 6 cubits and a span tall, which is over 9 feet. Okay? Well, it turns out that height for Goliath was based on what's called the Masoretic text, which is the Hebrew text of the Old Testament. But the Hebrew text is not the oldest manuscripts that we have. The oldest manuscripts that we have are from what's called the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And at Qumran in the Dead Sea Scrolls, manuscripts of 1 Samuel were found there that date to 200 years before Christ. And those manuscripts say that Goliath was 4 cubits and a span. Now, that's about 6'6". Now, I'll leave it to you which you're going to believe about Goliath, but the most ancient manuscripts that we have say that he was 6'6", which is pretty tall for the ancient world. And for me anyway, more credible than saying that he was 9 feet tall. There are giants mentioned in the Bible. The Nephilim are mentioned in the book of Genesis, but that was centuries earlier. And there's no indication that any giants like that were around at the time of King David. So I'm going with 6'6". This is taking longer than I thought. David, the two armies are lined up across the valley of Elah, and Goliath has issued his challenge. Nobody wants to take him up on it. My grandpa Moran was in the army in World War I, and he said the number one lesson about serving in the army is never volunteer for anything. And apparently the army of Israel had the same attitude. Nobody wanted to go out and fight Goliath. David came to bring supplies for his older brothers who were part of the Hebrew army. And he heard Goliath's challenge. And that's where we pick up the text. 1 Samuel 17:32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you may remember from a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the text where little David is out tending the sheep and his father calls him in, and Samuel the prophet said he's the one. And he was anointed to become king of Israel. But nothing really changes. God's call has been put on David's life, and the anointing is a symbol of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But nothing really changes. He goes back to tending the sheep. Saul is still the king, and the Philistines are still threatening Israel. There's a lesson here. Just because God has called you, and God has called you, God has placed his calling on every one of your lives and on my life. Just because God has called you and given you his Spirit, that doesn't mean there aren't still battles to fight. In fact, you're going to find when you answer the call of God, you're going to find battles that you didn't expect. Because to answer the call of God is to become the enemy of this world that is in rebellion against God. You've heard me say many times, the world is not a spiritually neutral place. It's a place of spiritual warfare. Just a few minutes ago, Peter read for us from Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Why do we need this armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's truth? Our struggle, as that text says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers of evil in the heavenly realms. When you answer the call of God, you become an enemy of the forces of this world that are in rebellion against God. Now, once again, this account from the life of David in his early years, before he becomes king, Saul is still king, remember. And Goliath, this mighty warrior, standing 6'6", issues this challenge, and the text describes him. He's got a helmet of bronze, a coat of bronze mail weighing 5,000 shekels. And by the way, I have no idea how much that is, except that it's a lot. And he's got a huge sword and a spear as big as a weaver's beam. He's this very intimidating character, and he challenges Israel to a one-on-one competition. And the text says, on hearing the words of the Philistine, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Sooner or later, a giant will come lumbering into every life. Maybe it's a giant called cancer. Or maybe a giant called COVID-19. Maybe there's a giant wound that's broken your heart. Maybe there's a giant hill to climb between you and your dream for your life. Maybe a giant wall has come between you and somebody that you love. And in addition, those are all personal things, but in addition, to follow Jesus Christ is to run up against the giants of this world. Once again, the world is not a spiritually neutral place. Every square inch of ground is contested. The truth of God's word today is up against some powerful enemies, powerful giants. Hollywood, television, the recording industry, the advertising industry, the internet. And by the way, the internet is not just a font of misinformation. It's like the internet has become like a reverse sewer line pumping pornography into every home in America. The average age of first exposure to pornography is 11. That's where the children of our culture are learning about sex. Now, all these giants threaten to annihilate any claim to truth, any claim that we make that we know the will of God based on His Word. Everything that we would teach our children and our grandchildren. The world says there is no absolute truth, there's just cultural preferences. There's no absolutes of right and wrong, it's just what's right for you or wrong for you or for me. Just like Goliath, they're not neutral. They defy the Church of Jesus Christ. They say that it is you who are evil. Come out and fight. All your talk of sin and righteousness and obedience and godliness is hogwash. They say there is no evil, no such thing as sin. And they've got an impressive army on their side, all the mass media, most of academia. If you take your stand on the Word of God, you're going to face some giants. The question is, are we going to be paralyzed by fear like Saul and his army? Are we going to do nothing and just let Goliath and his armies take over? Or will we stand? Now, David was a shepherd boy, and he's been coming and going from the battlefield, bringing supplies for his older brothers. And when he saw what was happening, when he saw the warriors of Israel cowering in fear, he couldn't believe his eyes. And perhaps he was remembering the words of the old prophet Samuel, who pointed at him and said, "This is the one," and then anointed him with oil. This is the one. Don't look to somebody else to fulfill your calling. You have a calling from God. I have a calling from God. Don't look to somebody else. Boy, somebody else better go fight that Philistine. Go get him. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God? Everybody else seems to have taken, it's like everybody else in that army took one look at Goliath and forgot about God. And we're beginning to see why the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. Well, David went to King Saul and he volunteered. He said, "Don't lose heart because of Goliath. I will go and fight him." I wonder if Saul had to bite his lip to keep from laughing. And then he said, look, son, you're just a boy. This guy is going to clean your clock. Thanks, but, you know, no thanks. It's bad enough when Goliath scoffs at you. It's even worse when the people you thought were on your side scoff at you. You can't fight it. Just give up. Who are you to take on the giant? You'll never get anywhere. It's no use. We're outnumbered. You should focus on nice things, pleasant things. And after all, the giant isn't so bad. He'll leave us alone if we leave him alone. Don't make trouble. Notice that in response to Saul, David does not claim, and this is one of the most important aspects of the story, David does not claim that he has the strength to confront Goliath. He said, "I have been a shepherd." And God helped me kill the lion that threatened the sheep. And God helped me kill the bear that threatened the sheep. And God is going to help me kill this Philistine. David was not afraid of Goliath. I think it's because he's been out there watching the sheep and not watching Philistine TV. Not living off the Philistine internet. He's been out there with the sheep. And all he knew, he think of it, he's out of the mainstream culture. So he didn't take Philistine culture seriously enough to be afraid of its giants. All he knew was that God helped him kill the bear and God helped him kill the lion and God will help him kill this Philistine. And by the way, one more little incident in the story. Saul says, "Here, put on my armor." And it didn't fit. It was way too big. People will try to help you in, but David was not interested. He took Saul's armor and he threw it off because it didn't fit him. He knew that his most powerful protection was the Lord, and the Lord was going to help him win this fight. David went down to a little stream, and he picked out 5 smooth stones. This is the center of the whole narrative. If you get this, you get the whole thing. He bent down. He would have had to kneel down at that stream to pick out 5 smooth stones. David is demonstrating, because I think he's kneeling in prayer as he picks out these stones. And he's demonstrating that He knows that the center of the universe, the most powerful force in the universe, is not the Philistine army, not Goliath, but the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who made heaven and earth. Everyone else was trembling in fear, reacting to Goliath. David is about to change the course of Israel's history, but not before getting on his knees at a bright, clear stream. If you're going to take on the giant, you'd better get on your knees first. Because if anything in this world changes, it's going to be because God did it, not because we did it. And if you're going to be useful to God, you have to get on your knees before the water of life and drink deep. Remember that Jesus told the woman at the well, "I will place within you an artesian well of water springing up to eternal life." It's in prayer that we find the true power of God. This is not first and foremost a story about David and Goliath. It's about the faithfulness and power of God. God holds all the universe in his hand. And God has come into our world in the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing can take us out of his hand. The text says, and this is part of the text that I didn't read, the text says that David ran to the battle. He ran toward Goliath. And I'm thinking his heart was in his throat. I'm thinking he was scared. He had to be. Nevertheless, he put a rock in his sling, one of those five smooth stones, swung it around his head, let it go. It sunk into Goliath's forehead. Goliath falls over. He's dead. But David understands the power of a good visual. So with all the army of the Philistines watching and all the army of Israel watching, he draws Goliath's own sword and removes his head and holds it up. It was a visual for the Philistines, and I'm sure they got the point. And for the men of Israel, too. The Philistine army fled. The Hebrew army pursued them and defeated them. Now, one last thing. Why five stones? He only needed one, right? And the first one did the trick. Why five stones? David was prepared for failure. If the first one didn't work, he had another one. If the second one didn't work, he had another one. If the third one didn't work, he had another one, etc., etc. Trust in God. Don't be discouraged by what may look like failure. Don't ever give up. It may take more than one round of chemo to beat the cancer. It may take more than one petition to get the attention of the school board. It may take more than one election to win the office. It may take more than one prayer to open someone's heart to the Lord. And it may take more than one sharing of your faith to bring them to faith. Don't give up. David picked up five smooth stones, and the first one worked, but he was prepared. Get on your knees, drink deep from the water of life, pick out your stones, and never quit. Amen. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you for this example that David set for us. I don't think, oh God, that David was unafraid of the giant, but his confidence in you was greater. His faith in you was greater. Give us a faith like David as we face the giants of this world and as we seek to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our world. Give us a faith like David to see you as bigger than any challenge that we face, infinitely bigger, and to trust completely in you. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.